Hello there, everyone. Welcome to the A Conversation series on the Sound of Crowd podcast. This is the standalone season series where we explore the lives, journey, and celebrate the success of individuals from a Ghanaian or African heritage or interest in short and sweet episodes. Today, I'm joined by Yandi Nomveti. Is that how I pronounce your surname?
That's perfect. You got it just right.
Awesome, great. So she's currently operations manager for Binance Africa. She's at the forefront of driving operational excellence in crypto, fintech, and Web3. In the influential role, she oversees strategy and operations for Binance Africa. Yandi, how are you doing? Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Adrian. I'm doing really well, dialing in from a bit of a chilly Cape Town, but super, super excited to be here and ready to have the concept of your podcast around telling African stories. So yeah, I'm happy to be here and I'm good.
Thank you so much, Yandi. Thanks for your time. And hearing the word Chile and Africa in the same sentence isn't something I'm not too familiar with. How cold is it right now?
So it's not super cold. It's about 22 degrees. But you know, Cape Town is a bit of a country of its own. The weather is quite different to what you get in the rest of Africa. The sun is out, but yeah, it's a bit chilly. But I mean, I'll firm it.
Brilliant. Okay, cool. I mean, I do need to get myself down to Cape Town. I've had a few invites, so I need to get myself there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of which, what have you been up to out there recently?
So we're just basically building in crypto, essentially, mainly. Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned, I am the operations manager for Africa at Binance. And that's basically mm-hmm. what I do on a day-to-day. I think Cape Town is a really cool place to be because there's quite a lot of emergence of tech startups this side. So it's also kind of building itself a sort of kind of like a Silicon Valley-esque of Africa. I think Nairobi and Cape Town are really at the forefront mm-hmm. of tech innovation. So it's really cool to be building Binance while based here. So yeah, that's basically what I'm up to, really fully immersing myself in the fintech and tech ecosystem and with Binance at the forefront of that here right now.
Brilliant. That's awesome, Yandi. And we will talk a little bit more about kind of how you kind of got into Binance and what you're doing over there. In terms of Binance, is Africa their main base in South Africa?
So Binance is a global company. So we don't have any bases in Africa currently. But yeah, we're all fully remote. The model has been a fully mm-hmm. remote model, which is great because you can leverage talents, you know, across the globe. And what's cool for me is that I get to work mm-hmm. with people from all over the world on a day-to-day, with many of those people being women, which is also super cool. So yeah, we're a fully remote company. And yeah, just a remote-first approach is how we operate.
Fantastic. And I think it's quite modern with tech companies to be remote first, especially in the back of the pandemic. And even though, you know, the pandemic has died down and you see a lot of people kind of transitioning to a hybrid approach, it's still great to hear that, you know, companies such as Binance and even Airbnb, you know, like the huge, you know, well-known tech companies are still keeping that remote first policy, I think is really, really key. But we can dive into that a little bit later on. I also want to talk a little bit about yourself, but before we get into that, Yandi, you mentioned something interesting about how there's a lot of women working in Binance. Let's talk about in terms of being involved in a male-dominated industry as crypto, Web3, blockchain, as we know is, you know, you got the likes of, you know, of course, your founder, you know, Changpeng Zhao, and then Jack Dorsey, who's a big crypto advocate. I mean, you got a lot of males in there. What is it like being in a male-dominated industry, and how do you plan to change this and let women, you know, be more empowered in this scene?
Yeah, so just to add, I think you mentioned Changpeng Zhao, also known as CZ, who's one of our founders at Binance. But I don't know if you know it, Binance was actually co-founded mm-hmm. by a woman. So Binance was founded by both CZ and a real pioneer in the crypto space named Yi. And, you know, when you have this type of gender mm-hmm. diversity at a C-suite level, I mean, currently less than 5% of crypto founders are women, and that really sort of trickles down to the rest mm-hmm. of the business. So you know, for me, I get to sort of leverage the talents and intellect of many, you know, powerful and really intelligent women on a day to day. We have a really, really high sort of density of, you know, females working at Binance currently. And we're really trying to like reshape that perception of crypto and Web3 being male dominated. you know, so we're really keen in sort of just expanding that diversity, and it's super important to us. And I think just beyond, you know, internal sort of gender diversity, where we're also really trying to educate women about the power of crypto and Web3. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as of 2023, mm-hmm. only 37% of women own crypto, which, I mean, if you think about how accessible crypto is, that is a really, really low number. And so at Binance, really keen about just educating mm-hmm. everyone, particularly women, you know, who form part of vulnerable sort of communities, and just really sort of onboarding them to the world of crypto and Web3. So that's our mission at Binance, is just, yeah, basically upgrading everyone to this new financial system, and mostly, mm-hmm. most importantly, vulnerable communities such as women.
Fantastic. I mean, there's a lot in there that you just shared. And, you know, one thing is, of course, you know, increasing the adoption of crypto on the continent, which is important, but also getting women more involved in the industry. And, you know, the kind of less, you know, spotlighted, you know, people or personas in the industry. I think these are all really important things. I mean, we just came on the back of International Women's Day, Yandy. Did yourself or Binance do anything around that period?
Yeah, so we did a lot. We had a variety of International Women's Day events across Africa, some that were hosted mm-hmm. internally. So we had an event in Johannesburg. We had also sponsored Women of Valor, which is an event that happened in Ghana, actually, which was also really cool.
Wow.
And we had, yeah, a bunch of just like sort of satellite events all over the world. Over and above that,
fantastic.
I mean, we have donated, close to $2 million to fund Web3 scholarships for women, and this is ongoing. So, you know, International Women's Day at Binance is, you know, often a really huge, you know, really calendar event that we plan ahead for, and we really want to spotlight women, we want to educate women. Over and above that, we had, you know, a campaign where, you know, when women made their first trade, they could win up to, I think it was like 5,000 USDT, which is the equivalent of dollars. So we really sort of double down and hone in on women during the month of March. So it's not only, you know, siloed to just the day. And then over and above that, it's just ongoing, you know, just constant education, just to ensure that women are brought along. So there's tons that we did.
Yeah.
I would have loved to be out in Ghana for that event, but maybe next year, perhaps.
Brilliant. Okay, cool. Maybe I'll see you out there too. Maybe we can talk about something off air. That's brilliant. That's fantastic. It seems like Binance, one thing Binance does do fantastic, Yandy, is, you know, your brand is really out there, and you do a lot to educate the public on, you know, the Web3 space and cryptocurrency. You do a fantastic job with that. Speaking of Ghana, you mentioned, of course, the Women of Valor event that you guys did in Ghana, or collaborated with in Ghana. Could you tell us a little bit about your operations in Ghana? Because, of course, I'm sure you have Ghanaians who use Binance.
We absolutely do. So, I mean, I think just in Africa in general, we're really seeing increased adoption in terms of using crypto, you know, over and above just a store of value, but as a payment method. And that's quite similar, mm-hmm. you know, to what we see in Ghana as well. So, I'm sure you're aware. I mean, Ghana might actually be one of the caveats in Africa where there's a lot of export happening, but, you know, Africa's, you know, generally a net importing region. And so, you know, just to facilitate cross-border transactions and payments, crypto really becomes super powerful in order to make that fast, easy, but also, you know, significantly cheaper than traditional methods that exist today. So we're seeing some really good in Ghana, you know, year on year. We do have, you know, a significant user base there. I don't have the exact numbers off the top of my head right now, but we're seeing, you know, very similar sort of adoption curve and adoption trends in Ghana, where users are moving over to crypto as a payment method, as well as a store of value. Mm. You know, we know that our currencies in Africa are quite mercurial and volatile in their nature.
Yes.
And access to dollars is quite limited as well, or, you know, not even dollars, you know, any sort of more stable currency is quite limited. And crypto does a really great job of making that super accessible to everyone. So those are the two key trends we see emerging out of the region. Number one is just using crypto to facilitate payments, cross-border remittances, sending money or receiving money from abroad, and then also just storing value to obviously hedge against inflation as well. So you're seeing Africans really investing in their futures through crypto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, crypto is quite popular in Ghana. I mean, I was just in Accra just, you know, a few weeks ago, and the Stella Development Foundation, they did an event there that I got invited to. And, you know, they're also talking about solving the cross-border, you know, remittance payment, you know, problem as well, and just talking around different issues and different challenges that they want to use the blockchain, Web3 and crypto to solve. So it's good to hear that Binance is also, you know, trying to provide a solution in that space as well, which is really, really good. Because, of course, you know, the city is not very strong, it's not very stable, you know, that it's gone up and down in value, and, you know, and the dollar is not always, you know, what it is. So this is great. Okay. Well, this is very insightful. Thanks for sharing, Yandy. I'm really enjoying this conversation so far. So let's put the spotlight back on yourself. So could you just tell us, I know we've probably gone deep into a conversation now, but I want to put the spotlight back onto you. Could you tell the audience a little bit about yourself, maybe in less than 60 seconds?
In less than 60 seconds. So yeah, Yande is a homebody, you know, by nature. I'm a sister, a daughter, a friend who's super, super passionate about tech and fintech and super passionate about mm-hmm. Africa. I've been sort of lucky to live in sort of different countries and have always gravitated back to the continent. And I'm mm-hmm. really passionate about advancing tech and fintech development in Africa. And yeah, I love music. I love having Amazing. Fun. I'm based in South Africa, so I love my piano, which I know is super popular in the rest of Africa right now. So yeah, I think that's me in 60 seconds. You know, I'm just a girl who's passionate about tech and fintech and really trying to do everything I can to advance adoption of it, essentially.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And I've seen from your background, you know, that you've been quite involved in Web3 and fintech for quite a few years. And I can see you're very passionate, but I can hear you're very passionate about it as well. Tell us, how did you get into the space and what attracted you to the space out of interest?
Yeah, so it's a bit of an unconventional journey, but I initially joined, I had a friend who was involved in crypto very early on. This is around like 2016, I want to say. And, you know, I was just super interested in what he was up to and what he was doing. And at the time, I mean, crypto was still elusive right now, but you can imagine back in 2016, it was even more elusive. I mean, so I read up a bit more on what he was doing. And, you know, his friends basically told me, hey, there's this app that you can download. There was a really popular crypto app at the time. And they're like, yeah, you just put like this amount of money in this week, and then next week it will double. It's like free money. And I was like, oh my gosh, free money. You know, I was a student at the time, so I was like, I mean, I'm game for that. And that's what really sort of drew me into it. And then I started researching a bit more and started, yeah, I guess sort of dabbling into, you know, buying a bit of crypto, sold at all of the wrong times. I wish I had held on for a lot longer. And yeah, I guess
everyone said that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we probably would not be having this conversation right now if I did. I'd probably be on an island somewhere. But
yeah, Maldives would be good. Maldives sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I finished, or rather I did university in Italy, and I spoke Italian, and I was then sort of joined another crypto exchange that were planning to expand into Europe. And because I spoke Italian, I then joined their team. So I had sort of two inroads into crypto. One was a really sort of daring and brave friend of mine who got into it super early, and that's how I learned about it. And professionally, yeah, I really started grassroots of operations, trying to expand or helping this other crypto exchange expand into Europe, just because I happen to speak Italian. And I guess the rest is history. Okay. That's why I'm here.
That's brilliant. I mean, you've got a very unique, diverse background, and the Italian side of it really stands out to me, because, you know, I've been involved, you know, working for Italian companies in the past, and, you know, I'm really into Italy. How did you pick up Italian out of interest?
So I went there for high school. I attended an international school there for 2 years, and because we lived there, it was compulsory for us to take Italian as a subject. So that's how I first learned it. And then I decided to stay on further to continue my tertiary education. And yeah, I think I spent about like 8 years there. So I was kind of fully immersed, and that's how I kind of learned the language. It's a bit rusty now, I must say. I haven't been back to Italy for a while, but I can still, you know, hold a conversation here and there. But I mean, I'm always grateful for that opportunity, because if it wasn't for that, then I would probably not have found myself operating and working in crypto and the fintech space, and ultimately finding myself at Binance. So yeah, a very unconventional journey, but yeah, it's been a good one so far. Really, really cool.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And I know Italy has a vibrant tech space as well. And maybe that's something you may have a full circle experience with in the future. Who knows? What part of Italy were you in?
So I initially was in Duino, which is a very, very small village outside of Trieste. Mm-hmm. So Trieste is the city with the largest piazza facing the ocean. So I was in Trieste for 2 years. And then after Trieste, I moved to Milan. And I was in Milan for 4 to 5 years. So yeah, Trieste and then Milan. Absolutely loved it.
It's awesome. Trieste is wonderful, and Milan is very, very vibrant. I like visiting Milan. It's awesome. Okay, let's keep this conversation going. I'm really enjoying this. Okay, so let's talk about, you know, the space as a whole. So I mean, you've been in the space for a little while now. To talk us through what you see happening in Africa in terms of, you know, where the Web3 crypto and blockchain is going right now, and what's currently happening in the market. What's your perspective, Yandi?
So, I mean, my perspective is that we're definitely, you know, definitely sort of in a very much growth phase. You know, Africa has become a hub for the crypto industry in recent years. And, you know, a lot of African nations have really started to take a pro-crypto stance. And, you know, we've really been able to establish like really important use cases and opportunities for greater financial inclusion. So I touched on those use cases earlier, and I really see these sort of growing and expanding as the market matures and more systems are established. I mean, I think what will be super important in terms of just increasing adoption is, you know, we'll likely, you know, in the future see a lot more regulation and hopefully see, you know, governments and central banks really opening up to regulating crypto in order to increase its adoption and also to ensure that users are safe and secure in interacting with crypto. So yeah, I just see like the current use cases really growing. And I also see, you know, a lot more regulation coming into play in future years, which is a good thing. And yeah, obviously more than just experimentation around Web3 and DeFi. So, I mean, I think, and DeFi is decentralized finance. I don't want to use jargon. And decentralized finance is just essentially around people really controlling their funds and being in control of, you know, their money. And, you know, some people call it sort of becoming your own bank. So basically having your own wallet and being able to do many, many things with that wallet. And I think in future, you know, as the web progresses, you know, Web3 wallets or decentralized finance wallets will probably be similar to creating a Facebook account or Instagram account. But I mean, that's much, much further on. You know, I think people refer to crypto as money for the internet, and the internet is here to stay. And we're seeing those use cases build and grow over the years. So really hard to tell what the future looks like. But I definitely think, and I mean, at Binance, we're seeing just a lot more adoption. I mean, we onboarded 40 million users last year alone, you know, and that's a 30% increase. And no, so this is globally.
Oh, wow.
And that's a 30% increase year on year. And I'm not sure how closely you follow the crypto markets, but, you know, last year in terms of price wasn't the greatest year. And for us to see that type of increase in a year like that, I think really indicates that with more adoption, we'll see more people being onboarded onto this world. And who knows, our grandkids might only ever transact in crypto or, you know, tokens and really just transact in Web3. So difficult to say, but I think one thing for sure is we're seeing a lot more people joining in, and they'll continue year on year.
Absolutely. I think this is only going to go up and up, the crypto block-free Web3 adoption. I mean, I spoke to Cardi Takash, you know, who's another guest who came on the show, and, you know, she's really trying to be an evangelist in Africa in terms of, you know, improving the education in Africa in terms of cryptocurrency and blockchain, which is important. And of course, one thing she mentioned is that I think it's the University of Ghana have a program on the blockchain. So I think as more education, you know, gets out there, I think more people will adopt, you know, cryptocurrency and blockchain, and will continue to explore all of these technologies. I believe, of course, in the post-COVID world, you know, where the world is going in terms of CBDCs, I think it's going to happen where we're going to transition more into a digital world. So I think it's only going to go in this direction, as you've highlighted correctly.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's super exciting. It's difficult to say what it'll look like, but I'm excited about the future and the role that crypto and like Web3 will play in that future. Definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you think people will flock to cryptocurrency, especially with CBDCs? Because I mean, I know, for example, in talks of the Ghanaian government, there's talks of the digital CD, you know, of course in America, you know, that they're looking into, you know, the digital dollar and things like that. The UK digital pound, I think maybe is on the map for maybe 2025 onwards. What's your thoughts on how the market will change in terms of centralized currency and decentralized currency?
Yeah, so I mean, I think again, it's really about going back to use cases, right? So like people will use a technology if there is an actual use case for it. And I think that's like the more important conversation we need to be having. Like people will adopt CBDCs if there's an actual use case for them and if they see the benefit in doing so. And if they don't, the adoption might be slower and might take a bit longer. So I think that's maybe where we need to be like shifting the conversation. And obviously, I mean, I'm not involved in conversations with, you know, governments and central banks, etc. But I think what's key to unlocking that adoption is just ensuring that the use cases are there and allowing people to use that technology, or rather those tokens, kind of freely in a way, and to sort of optimize the use cases. So I'm not sure what the future holds for CBDCs, but again, there are use cases that we're seeing at Binance. We're seeing our users organically use crypto this way. And if they can do the same with CBDCs, then I see no reason why there wouldn't be adoption around that.
True. I guess my fear here with CBDCs, Yandy, is that, you know, it's the government being able to control what people can do with their money, right? So, you know, gone will be the days where you can, you know, just give someone cash, you know, on the side for doing your garden lawn or for cleaning your house. It's more about if you're behaving or you're not behaving, the government can choose to switch off your money. So reason why I'm bringing this up is that I feel that people may, you know, flock to decentralized currency for as long as it's around because of reasons such as, you know, control. Yeah,
exactly. So I mean, it's a constant sort of conversation, or rather like debate that comes up, is like, you know, is it beneficial for CBDCs to be centralized? And they kind of sort of go against the original thesis of what crypto was supposed to be. But at the same time, you know, regulation is a bit of a necessary evil. You know, it's necessary, you know, at times to keep users safe. But then to your point, you know, if you are in a sort of hyper-surveilled environment, then there may be some hesitation from individuals around that. But I think it also just depends on the individual's risk appetite. But again, you know, we'll just have to see how it plays out. I think there haven't really been any real life, you know, execution of it. So it's also difficult to say right now. So we'll just have to see, you know, what happens. But yeah, I mean, centralization is not always a bad thing. And we'll just have to, you know, how governments and individuals handle it based on their risk appetite.
Absolutely. Let's just wait and see what happens in all of these different areas. Thank you for these very fantastic insights. Okay. So that's quite interesting. All right. And could you walk us through, or just give us a little bit of a run through what a typical day would look like for you in terms of, you know, working as operations manager, Binance?
Yeah. So no one day is the same. Like, for example, today I'm speaking to you on a podcast, and I've always wanted to be on a podcast. So that's super exciting. Day to day, my role is kind of two or threefold. So super, super data driven. So I always start my day, you know, just sort of looking how the previous day was in terms of the data points that we track, looking out for any sort of anomalies or any sort of incidents that may have occurred on the operations side. Also then just keeping up to date with, you know, current events on the global crypto sort of scale. And then, yeah, working really closely with our marketing community teams to ensure that we always have something that is kind of ongoing on the continent to really push crypto education and adoption. So we also have our Binance Academy product, which is essentially a free sort of tool or feature on our app, which has, you know, a bunch of different cryptocurrency courses, you know, from beginner all the way to, you know, intermediate level, and really sort of helps people sort of learn more about crypto. And so, yeah, we just ensure there's a healthy level of engagement of those products across the board. And if we know where there are certain dips, we then sort of brainstorm in terms of, you know, how we can get people to engage, and then also, you know, take a look at potential new markets where we might not have a really strong presence, and strategize in terms of, you know, what the best way is to, you know, sort of get them on board on Binance and into crypto in general. And again, you know, Binance Academy is usually, you know, the first sort of, you know, feature or rather approach that we lead with, because education is at the key, you know, of ensuring that there is adoption in Africa. So yeah, I'd say my day is very data driven. So I love looking at data first thing in the morning. And then it's just a bunch of calls and meetings. And again, it's, you know, with, you know, all of the great people I get to work with on a day to day. So I have a lot of fun doing it. And then yeah, occasionally I get to do fun stuff like this as well.
Brilliant. Yeah, I mean, it is quite a handful, Binance, in terms of what your day consists of. And I can imagine the role is a bit fun. I was over at I was over in Lisbon in 2022 for the Web Summit conference, and Binance was there. You know, the CEO, CP was there, was there. And they had like a really fun stand where you could like play football to win, you know, like clothes and hoodies and caps and things like that. So, you know, I think Binance in itself, they try to, you know, communicate themselves as a very friendly brand for anyone to, you know, get involved in. I know Cristiano Ronaldo is a big ambassador for Binance as well. So I think you guys do a great job in terms of making it easy for people to use the platform. And of course, I've been a user of Binance myself. And one thing I have noticed is the more you use the platform or interact with the platform, or maybe buy some altcoins or some whatever coins, you know, Bitcoin, whatever it is, and then you go through the academy, the more things unlock as well, which is quite really cool. So yeah, there is a lot for people to use on Binance, and it's a very good platform.
We like to have some fun as a brand as well, so it's great to hear that you saw some of the games that we have at our community events. We also have like different activities where you can sort of push a Bitcoin button and that's to sort of land on what the last price of Bitcoin was, and you can win some cool prizes. We have like hold bar. Basically, the concept is about hodling, so holding your crypto. And at our different events, we see how long like people that are there can hold on to a bar. So it's also quite a test of upper body strength, which I don't have. So I'm terrible at that game. but we really like to be super interactive with our community, because again, you know, like crypto is such a new technology and there's a lot of education that needs to happen. But we also really appreciate, you know, our existing customers, new users, or people that have never even interacted with the platform. I think we really just want to make the brand super relatable and super fun. And from what you've just said, I think the team has done a good job at doing that so far. And we'll continue to push both on the education with a little bit of fun on the side as well.
Brilliant. Yeah. And I think that sums up Binance really well, really. I mean, you're really good in, you know, making the brand friendly and fun to interact with.
Yeah. We're super user focused. It's one of our key sort of values. And we've always aimed to put our users first. So yeah, we'll continue to do that.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, this is really exciting. And just to kind of like wrap up, you mentioned like events and the whole community drive that you're doing across the continent. I am aware, I think it's the end of, I think it's December. I think it's every December. I think it's Africa Bitcoin Conference or Bitcoin Summit in Accra. I know Jack Dorsey goes to that. Are there any events like that you guys are involved in, or community events you guys are looking to do across the continent?
So we aim to have a community event at least once or twice a month on the continent. And, you know, given our sort of wide presence on the continent, we might only, you know, be able to cover one country, you know, in a certain span of time. As I mentioned, we just had our Women's Day event in Johannesburg. That was about 2 weeks ago, and that was really fun. We should have another event coming up in Southern Africa and then West Africa. So Ghana, Cote d'Ivoire, Cameroon, Congo, etc. And there are a few events coming up there as well, although I don't have exact dates. But, you know, as soon as we find them out, we'll definitely let you know. And maybe you can plug them for us on your podcast if you will. But yeah,
we absolutely aim
for an event in Africa, you know, at least once a month. And I think we're tracking well on that so far.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Well, we'll keep an eye out for those events. And yeah, this has been a really great, insightful conversation, Yandy. Really do appreciate your time. Where can everyone find you, connect with you? And are there any final thoughts or announcements you'd like to leave with the audience?
So my only public social media profile is LinkedIn. So you can find me on LinkedIn at Yande Nombete. I don't have other social media, so I'm pretty low key. And yeah, I mean, I think just sort of final thoughts is definitely encouraging, you know, women that aren't a part of the crypto sphere or are too scared or intimidated to definitely visit our Binance Academy and start learning just a little bit more about crypto and how Binance can facilitate, you know, that you taking that first step into it. You know, and even if you're not someone who identifies as a woman, I think Binance is really here to hold your hand and onboard you into this exciting world where, you know, your transactions, whether cross-border or local, could be a lot, you know, faster, efficient, and cheaper. And then, yeah, we're always here as a brand. So, you know, for Binance, at least, you can find us across all social medias at Binance Africa. So that's on X, Instagram, and TikTok. We're super, super present there. And we post content every day. And yeah, we're just really there to sort of be a helping hand and a beacon for those that are super crypto native and are excited about the industry and those that don't, you know, might not be in the industry and are looking to learn more. So find us at Binance Africa and all socials. And yeah, Binance Academy if you want to learn a bit more about crypto.
Fantastic, Yandy. That was a fantastic way to end the show. Really appreciate you having, you know, all of this knowledge and wisdom for our audience to soak in and, you know, encouraging them to get into crypto. I think this is the kind of the word in season, you know, just being around these type of events and, you know, speaking to people such as yourself, Carlita Cash and some others, you know, this is the year where people need to get involved because we don't know what's going to happen. You know, the economy is shifting quite drastically. And yeah, this is the year to get involved in the Web3. Yandy, thank you so much. So there you have it, guys. Yandy, Operations Manager for Binance Africa, crypto, fintech, and Web3 enthusiast and expert. And yeah, that's all for today with the A Conversation with Series on the Son of Crow podcast. And we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Thank you for tuning in.